to another wonderfully fantastic edition of The Nerd Watch. I am, of course, G Money. I am joined by the one and only Professor Barry and Format this evening here in the lovely island of Maui.
How many of me are there?
We got one on backup.
The one and only Format is here as well. And we, of course, are in the beautiful Maui Comics and Collectibles. Make sure you guys check them out here every Wednesday. It's new Comic Book Wednesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Some wonderful comics, some fantastic stories can all be told right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Akaku. Or, excuse me, 333 Dairy Road, 333 Akaku Center.
Yep, yep.
That's the one. All right,
wonderful.
Guys. Listen, we're doing a little... how's everybody doing? Good?
Doing good.
Doing wonderful? Everybody doing okay? How's everybody's week been?
Can't complain.
That's been all right. I did a for Maui Watch. I did a food review this week.
Awesome.
And then was eating. I went to Juan's Kitchen. And
Juan's.
No, it's not Mexican. It's Filipino. And then
they're Juan's name.
Juan as well, right? Yeah. And then I got to watch a movie, a summer movie that was not exactly in the theaters, but I watched it anyway. A Deadly Adoption with Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig. I wrote a review about it. We'll get to that later. Anyway, Professor Barry, how's your week been?
Things are good. I got a couple looking backs coming up this weekend.
I saw your Pee Wee Herman.
Very proud of it. Yeah, Pee Wee Herman's up and also Paul Verhoeven's.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven's Hollow Man. But this weekend, my looking back pieces will be on John Hughes' Weird Science.
Nice.
And Species.
Species.
Ooh. Species.
The very first Species.
Yep.
That was a good one.
Celebrating 20 years.
20 years.
20 years of naked Natasha Henstridge.
And there's no complaints from this peanut gallery. That's
funny. Got really quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah, it did. I think we were reminiscing. But you did get to see...
Inside Out.
You got to see Inside Out this weekend at the box office. Yep. Big movie. Could not topple Jurassic World, but it came pretty darn close.
Yep.
First off, though... Coming up later on in a different podcast that we will be doing this evening, we're going to be doing a commentary for Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. We're going to be doing that later tonight, and we're going to be putting it up as well. And look who's joining the show this evening as well. The one, the only, the horror aficionado himself, the guru of ghoul, as it were. The one and only Gannon is in the house.
Yay! Sorry,
No, it's absolutely fine.
We know how it is.
We know. Arkham and all, it's great. And Gannon's partner in crime is here, so Sean Day!
What up,
Well, we were just talking about...
We just started.
Yeah, we just started. So because we have to do the commentary and this, so we figured let's get this show on the road, as it were. Gannon, how has your week been, sir?
It was fantastic. A little busy. A little
really?
Chaotic.
All right.
Yesterday, so that was a lot of fun.
Wait! Don't bury the lead. What was that again?
It was my birthday yesterday.
Oh! Someone's birthday yesterday. Beautiful.
What do we do?
Can we ask something?
I don't think we've done one of these.
Do I dare ask your age?
I'll give you a hint.
Oh, a hint.
I'll give you a hint.
All right, I'm
Kevin Smith's first movie.
Okay.
The number of interest in that movie. It's very easy.
Wait. Kevin Smith's first movie.
First movie.
Okay.
The number of interest in that movie, shall we say.
I got it. Well, listen, we thought we'd just do a little quick mini pod about what's been going on in everybody's week. So first off, a couple of big things. We're going to get into Inside Out with Professor Barry. He got to see that this weekend. And this weekend was a big gaming weekend, or a big gaming week as of yesterday for people that enjoy playing. Batman Arkham Knight came out. How long were you on that, Gannon?
I don't think I've played it more than an hour, strangely enough.
Really?
I haven't been home long enough to do it.
Unbelievable. Well, let me tell you something.
I know, right? For me, in particular.
I know, man. I'm telling you. A lot of stress can be taken away by roaming the streets of Gotham and taking out random thugs.
Tense.
So, yeah. Tense. I will say this, just quickly, so I don't spoil anything. looks amazing.
Oh,
it is. It plays just like the old ones, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I will say this: I do have a bone, a very serious bone to pick.
Uh-oh.
I do not like the Batmobile.
I'm not on board with it just yet. With as little as I have played, I'm not on board with it quite yet.
I don't like it at all.
To what I was hoping it would be.
I didn't think it was worth. I don't know what all the hype was about. I didn't think it was good at all.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of bummed. Kind of bummed out about
it. How far in are you though?
To be honest, if I'm honest, it's only been a couple of hours. So it's you know,
can
maybe
you really
3 hours. Well, you know,
I
mean, you know what? It's
very heavily integrated.
Yeah.
Into the story.
Oh, supremely. Okay. It's
like you don't get to choose whether you use it or not.
Right. It's not a choice. They literally pound it on top of you. Like you have to use this. You have to solve puzzles with you. You've got to do this. You got to do that. You got to run Riddler's race course. It's kind of like, and it doesn't handle really well. It's a little slippery, and I don't like the way. I don't like
that. Thick Christian Bale's driving skills in Batman Begins.
There you go. So it's one of those things. It's driving around the tank, but then the controls are all messed up. So instead of, you know how you have the controls where it's gas and brake on the top, the triggers, right? This one's really weird. There's a battle mode that you turn the Batmobile into. The wheels
right.
turn in and it turns into a battle mode. Well, every time you're driving the car, your natural reaction is to hit gas with the right trigger and then brake with the left trigger. I always screw that up.
I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't even know it could reverse.
Yeah, I didn't even know that either. You got
to
hit X to
do
that.
Every
time.
Reverse?
Every time. So, anyway, I'm not judging it. We'll probably talk about it more next week on the show.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Batman Arkham Knight so far has reignited the flame of how much I enjoyed Arkham City and Arkham Asylum. Arkham Asylum being my favorite out of the three that have come prior to. So, yeah, that's great. Arkham Knight is out, and I'm so happy that I had a chance to play it. The story so far looks good. I mean, I'm liking how
and
this
the
progressing.
Game in particular is a gorgeous looking game.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely gorgeous.
I almost want to bring it in. I did bring it.
You did? I knew it. I knew it.
It's in the car.
I knew it. Maybe we can see it after. All right, so Professor Barry, let's get to your review. You're the only one that went to the movies. There was a guy's gaming here. You went to the movies, and you watched Inside Out, Pixar's return to original content. Would that be a fair statement?
If no one's seen Herman's Head, then yes, it's definitely return to original content.
Right, exactly. Inside Out. What say you? This is a family film.
Yep.
Made heaps of money
yes.
this weekend, and like I said earlier, not defeating Jurassic World, but doing its best to try to
mm-hmm.
made $91 million. So, what say you? Is it worth the price of admission? Should we be going to see Inside Out?
It's very good. I really enjoyed it. It's visually beautiful. It definitely has an emotional heft that Pixar has. So there's a bit of darkness in it, which was really nice. The reason I'm not crazy in love with this movie is that just to go back to the issue of the darkness, there are moments where you feel like this is going to go into some really unique territory in terms of dealing
right.
with some of the stuff that kids go through that's really traumatic and devastating, and it pulls back. It has one of these pat everybody wins sort of endings, and everything is very tidy and cute, and that's great, but there's a moment where it feels like it's going to go, for example, like the scene at the end of Toy Story 3 where our beloved character is about to basically be incinerated in hell. It looks like it's going in that direction where you're going, man, this is bold for any film, let
sure.
alone a Pixar film, and it really pulls back. I like this film, but I feel like it's somewhere between something really, really landmark and something that's just kind of merely cute. I think it's a good film, but I don't think it's one of the great Pixar movies.
That's unbelievable because let me tell you something. My dad called me from the mainland, and he called me specifically to tell me that it's probably one of the best pictures of the year, if not one of the greatest animated pictures he had ever seen. That's what he told me.
Wow.
So that was some big hype.
Has he seen Howl's Moving Castle?
Really? Listen, we're talking in and out here. Oh, excuse me, not in and out, Inside Out. Sorry. But he said it was an amazing film. So I'm very interested to see. I was waiting for a secondary opinion on that because my dad, he's an older guy, obviously. He loves animation. He loves the art of animation. So, you know, I none of the things he says he's more discriminatory than I am when it comes to films. I'm more forgiving than he is. So when he says something, I take it to heart. So I was really looking forward to it. Should I go watch it in the theater or can I wait?
It's worth seeing in the theater because it is so beautiful. Apparently the 3D is quite good. And it looks like a movie that was designed specifically for 3D. But at the same time, this is not a movie I'm dying to see again. I'm glad I saw it. I enjoyed it. But I could definitely wait. There's a few films this summer I could not wait to see again. This isn't one of them.
Wow. So on your list, or excuse me, on your scale of 1 to 5.
Three stars.
Three-star movie. Yeah. All right. Three-star movie. Story good, though? That's what I want to know. Story?
Like I said, when it goes into some really challenging areas, especially for this sort of film, yes. But for the most part, it's really safe and cute. It feels like it was kind of designed to be a video game. And I mean that in a very crash commercial sense. I think this movie feels more like a product to me than it is something like, for example, WALL-E.
Were you disparaging the good name of video games? Is that what you were doing right there?
I'm disparaging the good name of
Herman's
Head.
Your elitist attitudes?
No. I'm disparaging the good name of Herman's Head. I can't believe no one...
Oh, that's true. Good point.
No one's mentioned the fact that this is a blatant ripoff of Herman's Head.
We talked about this in the last one, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
We did. We absolutely did. So you're saying that we should all go check it out?
Yes. It's very good. It's worth seeing. I just don't think it's quite up there. I mean, you know, it's superior to just about every other animated film that's come out this year, which isn't saying much. It's probably going to be a much, much better movie than Minions, one can hope. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's as good as any of the Toy Stories.
Right. Okay. Wow. That's amazing, because I'm not a huge fan of Toy Story 3.
What?
Yeah, I like two much better.
Oh, man.
I thought three, I kind of agree with Barry, that I thought 3 was a little dark at the end. I thought it was a little too sinister.
That's why I liked it.
It was very sinister. I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
but anyway, you give Inside Out a 3 stars.
Yeah.
Gannon, I hope I'm not... putting you in a compromising position here, but you also saw a movie this weekend. Week. Yes, you did.
Did I?
Yes. You watched the 40th anniversary of Jaws
on the big
screen.
Absolutely.
So what was it like watching Jaws on the big screen?
It was surreal, I gotta tell you. As I seem to say it a lot, even though these movies keep getting resurrected.
Right.
But you don't realize what you miss from the theatrical experience. Just little things, like little sounds... Just in the sound mix. Little things like that, like a voice off camera that you wouldn't get from the home video version.
Right.
Because I was born in 78. That movie came out in 74. So I didn't really catch up to that movie until probably VHS, I don't think.
Wow.
Or if anything, probably network television was probably going to take a lot of it out.
Let me tell you where I caught up with it. I caught up with it because I was born in... Well, I'm not even going to say. Anyway.
You're going to age me? You're going to age yourself?
No. I watch it on CED disc.
Really?
Yeah. So I that's how old I am. I watched on CED disc, and that movie was very affecting when I was a youngster. That was an amazingly good movie. So would you say that it enhanced your experience of Jaws? Did it make it better, or do you still do we just hold it in high regard because it's in high regard?
I fell in love with the movie again, to be honest. Because cool. I also hadn't watched it in a long time as well. I don't think I watched it in a few years now.
Cool.
So it was kind of great to see it that way. Mm-hmm. Learned a couple little neat facts that they did in their presentation, like how Steven Spielberg was actually not on board with the original score.
No.
He wasn't.
He
at
didn't
first,
like it.
Because he was literally like, if I remember what the guy said correctly, he said that Steven Spielberg heard it, like, that's great. What's the real score?
That sounds like him, right?
Yeah.
I think my favorite fact that they brought up that Ben Mankiewicz brought up in his introduction during that show. I didn't watch it, I only saw the introduction, but. My favorite fact that everybody seems to overlook all the time when watching Jaws. Jaws was brought out in the 1970s, and they thought this movie was such a disaster, an absolute disaster, that they didn't want anybody – I don't think the studio really wanted anybody to see it. So they said, you know what? Let's just stick it in the summer because no one goes to the movies in the summertime.
Well, it's 74.
And
Star Wars didn't come out yet.
That's right. And so, of course, Jaws becomes the pop culture icon of the 70s, and basically, in my opinion, resurrected the movie business and basically made summer movies what summer movies are today.
You don't get Jurassic World if not for Jaws.
Absolutely
really.
Not.
And that's not even just pulling from Spielberg, just in the sense of
anything.
Filmmaking and movies that come out in the summer.
Absolutely. So, is this still a 5-star movie for you?
Yeah.
Cool.
For sure.
Awesome.
Cool. Absolutely.
All right.
Now, Robert Shaw monologue, man.
Oh my gosh.
Sucks you in.
Robert Shaw is amazing.
And you forget about that chemistry that he and Richard Dreyfuss had. That apparently was real. They didn't really like
They didn't like each other. That's right. That's right.
It's just palpable in the movie.
Yeah, I love that. I watched that documentary, that hour and a half documentary, that 2-hour documentary on Jaws. They did not like each other. They used to push each other's buttons. And I think it was on purpose because I think Robert Shaw is very much a method actor. So,
possibly it could have just been he didn't, because Richard Dreyfuss at the time was just a hot shot younger actor.
Yeah, that's right. He said he was a cocky little son of a gun,
and
he admitted it.
I'm pretty sure Steven Spielberg was like, "That's great. They're not supposed to like each other. Let's find ways to make them hate each other more."
That's awesome. Robert Shaw. Did you know that Robert Shaw was not the first pick for that role?
He was.
The first pick for that movie for that role was Sterling Hayden. Remember? Dr. Strangelove?
And so did
he's the captain that, you know, we have to save our precious bodily fluids. That was who Steven Spielberg had picked. It did not work out with Sterling Hayden, but he had actually shot footage for Jaws.
He got that far. Wow.
So it's interesting that Robert Shaw defines that role, but he was not the first person in mind when they put it together.
Are we ever going to see this? Is it going to be like Eric Stoltz footage?
I don't know. I really don't know what happened
to
it.
74, I doubt they held on.
Yeah, I doubt they did. I think Spielberg kind of walked away from it the moment it was over and said, "I am done with this." So
that the movie they said if he were to remake any of his movies, it would be that one?
Yeah, he did.
I think that's the one he said he would go back and do, even though he'll never do it.
Right. But his big thing back in Jaws was he wanted to see more shark, and what ticked him off was is that he was not seeing enough shark, and he knew that's why he didn't think this would work.
And yet, that's why that movie works.
And that's why the movie works so
well. You don't really see it that much until towards the end.
That's right, absolutely. All right, well, Jaws is a certified classic 5-star film, no doubt. Now, format, moving on to you, sir. Anything exciting to have in your neck of the woods this week?
Not a damn thing. I didn't do jack.
You didn't even write?
No.
What?
Yeah. All right. Took some time off.
Oh, I took some time off. Did you? Great. Oh, by the way, since you weren't here, how was having the family in town? We talked about that. We didn't talk about that. It was good.
Yeah.
Good.
It was interesting. Very eye opening.
Having family in town always is, isn't it?
Yes, indeed.
It is indeed. All right. Well, listen. All right. We're about 20 minutes in. We're doing a little mini cast for the Nerd Watch this week because we do have more important things to get to, and that more important thing is, of course, our commentary that we're going to be doing for Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. We here at this table are all fans of Buckaroo Banzai. But there is one person that I know of that is probably the biggest, if not the loudest, vocal fan of Buckaroo Banzai, and he will be joining us, and I will introduce him to you when we start the new podcast, or the new commentary for Buckaroo Banzai. He's well documented. This is the gentleman that was brought up last week when you said he corrected everything in your article that you had gotten wrong about
Buckaroo
Banzai.
Categorically.
Yeah. I think some of you may know who we're talking about. He does live here on Maui, and yes, we will be bringing him on the show, so I cannot wait to see or to hear what is going to be the commentary for Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. I cannot wait to hear about this. This is going to be absolutely amazing. But right before we get to that, I want to send a big shout out to Maui Comics and Collectibles for providing such a beautiful space to have the podcast in. We certainly appreciate it very, very much. I want to thank them. 333 Dairy Road is where they're located. Maui Comics and Collectibles. Every Wednesday is New Comic Book Wednesday. You have to come and check them out. It's a beautiful establishment. Come support local business. If you live in the islands, it is a wonderful place to do all of your comic book needs, to get all of your comic book needs met here at Maui Comics and Collectibles. One more thing before I go, by the way. It was announced. I put it on NerdWatch, facebook.com/NerdWatch. We have ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, a new Spider-Man.
Ooh.
And we know his name.
I'm not on board with Spider-Man.
He is an English bloke yet again, and his name is Tom Holland.
Who is that?
That's exactly what I said. I don't know. Apparently, he's in the movie The Impossible with Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor.
He's
of the Clan McGregor.
So
anyway,
he was a little kid going. La, 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 la.
Right.
Interesting story about this.
What's that?
That maybe you haven't read about. Is that director Tom Holland had a lot of traction today.
Oh, he as in oh, Tom Holland.
Yeah. Got a lot of traction today because apparently people got the names mixed up.
That's hilarious.
There's really no difference in the spelling. So
that's hilarious.
Because of that, if you go to his Facebook, it's a picture of Tobey Maguire with his hands like this, but it's his head. So if you guys want to check out Tom Holland's Facebook, it's absolutely amazing.
That is amazing. Well, this kid looks like, he does look the part, I have to admit. He definitely looks older than Asa Butterfield. I think he may fit the part fairly well.
He looks young for 19.
He does look quite young for 19. So I'm very, we'll definitely get more in depth about the pick for Spider-Man. And according to another article that I read that I have not posted yet, Robert Downey Jr. had a lot to say about the new pick. He gave the word go on that. He was like, "That's the kid."
Because the kid screen tested with Downey Jr. first,
right?
And then after kid got the pass with Downey Jr., he did the screen test Chris Evans last. So Chris Evans was, I guess, the final go-to.
Oh, was he the final go-to guy?
There was two kids that screen tested with Robert Downey Jr. He's the one that made it past Robert Downey Jr. So Chris Evans, it sounds like, was the last,
Last
piece of the puzzle.
Look at that.
Strange.
Look at that. Iron Man and Captain America button heads for the leader of the Avengers in the comics, and now they're doing it in real life.
I think you're reading too much.
Listen, let me have my fantasy. Alright?
Fantasize about Captain America and Iron
no,
Man.
Just being in the suit, sir.
Oh, okay,
in the,
gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
Thank you.
Right. I knew what he meant.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we shall see if this kid works out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're cutting a bit short tonight, but that's all right because we'll be back very soon because we'll be doing our commentary for one of the greatest pictures ever made that hardly anyone saw. It is Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension starring Peter Weller, Daniel Stern, Jeff Goldblum, Ellen Barkin, John Lithgow, and the list goes on and on of superstars.
Daniel Stern?
Not Daniel Stern. Yes! Daniel Stern is in it. No, not Daniel Stern. No, it is. Wait, isn't it? No, not Daniel Stern.
Christopher Lloyd?
No, there's Christopher Lloyd is in it, but there's... Wait a minute. Who might... Oh, you know what I'm thinking about? There's...
Oh, we could edit this out.
I'm thinking of... No, don't edit it out. Hong Kong Cavaliers, right?
Yeah.
There's Jeff Goldblum. There is...
Are you thinking...
Who am I thinking about then?
Lewis Smith and
Peter Weller?
Perfect Tommy?
Perfect Tommy. That's
Lewis Smith.
It. Lewis Smith. Perfect
it's a heavenly
Tommy.
Kid. Yeah.
From Heavenly Kid.
Yeah.
That's the guy, not Daniel Stern. What was I thinking? I think I was thinking of Leviathan for some strange reason. It was in my head.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension is coming.
Don't
worry.
Not starring Daniel
Stern. Don't worry.
Stern.
I'll get a bunch of crap for that when the commentary starts, that's for sure. But yes, John Lithgow's correct. Peter Weller playing the titular character. The Hong Kong Cavaliers.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing...
I never used that word in a modern day sentence. That's great.
Does anyone?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time for this podcast.
Yeah, I did.
We're out of time. We'll see you back here very shortly. So until then, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, we say to you, aloha.